James on Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com and by Orange Theory Fitness. Come see why the New York Times and Men's Health rated the best one-hour workout. Your first workout is free. Open in Burlington on Shelburne Road. The Huddle is now on 101.3 ESPN. 101.3 ESPN.com and streaming worldwide. 101.3
Good afternoon. You are in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, it took you a little time to answer. Well, you're great. I'm hesitant
to say how amazing your scream was today, but it was a little extra. There was about a half a second extra on
there.
Was
it? Are we timing me now? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that was good.
Wow.
You're clearly filled with energy today. Why would that be?
I don't know. We worked out today at Orange Fitness.
How funny
Orange
was that?
Orange Theory Fitness. I'm sorry. Wow.
Orange Fitness Theory.
Yes, there you go. Orange Theory Fitness worked out today. I love working out there. I do have to say, Brady, a little uncomfortable. All the ladies always trying to crowd toward me on the treadmill. So
why are you wearing a sweatshirt, a black heavy sweatshirt? It's 83 degrees.
I never know when it's going to get hot or cold here.
And by the way, at Orange Theory today for his workout, he's also wearing a long sleeve black shirt.
Yeah. Look. I was getting the sweat in there.
Yeah, that will help.
Well, tell Brady what I was wearing outside in the parking lot.
He took his shirt off so he could put his heart rate monitor.
It was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen.
Hey,
when you got it, flaunt it. Come on, man.
Well, you've got it all right. Yeah, you got plenty of it.
I just wanted to go ahead and take my shirt off, enjoy some of the sun.
I was just, did I have to see that? I'm literally still recovering.
What? Jeez.
6 hours later.
I'm more interested in how it was you guys working out. Did you guys work out next to each other?
No, he wouldn't sit next to me. I told you all the girls were fighting to sit next to me, so it came crowded next to me.
Arnie, wake up. Arnie, come back to us.
There was like two hotties right next to me working out.
All classes hotties. I mean, I know that. Plus you and me.
Well, that is true. That is true.
I mean, come on.
I'm glad we didn't work out near each other because I would have been distracted.
You guys, because you would have been looking at Rich's heart rate monitor.
I did. I was looking at his heart rate monitor on the thing. I was always like 5 to 7 beats behind them or whatever.
Yeah, you were, which is bizarre when you look at you.
Some people say I have no heart. So
maybe it's just because Rich worked a lot harder than you. Maybe that's it.
He killed in 60 minutes. And this is the great thing. Yeah. One of the great. There's so many of them about Orange Theory. You killed 1,090 calories in 60
minutes.
That
is like all the fat pouring out of my pores. Just screaming to get out. Just going, get me out.
That's a lot of pizza right there.
There was people that couldn't burn that much were looking at me like, what is coming out of your body? I mean, like, your pores.
And you're wondering why I wouldn't sit next to you.
Yeah, you're sweating. And oh, there goes a cheeseburger out your shoulder. And
bizarre.
I burned 920 today.
Wow. I didn't know you had so much crap in your body.
that's just the Labatt Blue from Jess's birthday.
Wow.
I only had 882, so I guess I'm in the best shape of all of us.
Quit dogging it, Rich.
Wow. Yeah, you got to pick it up there, Rich.
That's
get over
fun,
1,000.
Man. I'm probably going to head back there Thursday morning. It's fun.
You're into looking at your heartbeat to see if you have it going, Tin Man. So.
Yeah.
Trivia tonight at the Burger Bar. My wife just stresses the hell out of me on Mondays because she's usually not done with the questions. Though I come up with good questions. Now, nobody knows the answer. I said this. First of all, she didn't know who James Naismith was.
So Okay.
So she should be disqualified from question making.
James Naismith, of course, invented the game of basketball. But what else did he invent? That was one of my questions. No, nobody knows.
What?
That's nobody impossible. Knows.
The peach basket.
No, the leather football helmet.
Nobody would ever know that.
No one would know that.
No.
No, that's a very hard question.
Well, let's just make them all easy and get them all right.
No, I'm not saying, what is 2 plus 2, but I mean, how about what did James Naismith invent? Might be a better one.
You talk about hypocritical.
Yeah.
When power play comes around on Friday, Brady, make it easier. True, false.
We had a winner.
Yes, no questions. And here you want to play Stump the Schwab with all of Colchester and Burlington on giving out the hardest questions. Now you know why I like people getting questions wrong in power play because I can prove how good my questions are.
Out of 16 questions, the winner had 11 right. You're not supposed to have that many right. It should be like 5 or 6 total.
Maybe they're just smart.
No. That can't be.
I was actually embarrassed last week as the host on a couple of those questions. I was like, there's no possible way anyone in this room is going to know that, and they're going to give me that look, and sure enough, they did.
Well,
but that's only a couple of them. I will give you that.
Well, you can't make
question can be a layup.
No. But I mean, my gosh.
I like them to be layups, though, because I like people to feel good about themselves.
They're feeling good about themselves with half-price appetizers and discounted drinks.
Yeah, they're feeling good, Dan.
And I hear Sam Adams Summer is on discount tonight.
That's right.
I may have to show up.
Brady, real quick, because Rich was watching this before the show. I saw this. I don't know. I'm sure you did. The College World Series.
I feel awful for that kid.
Poor Auburn, set that up right real quick fielder. For the audience. It was tie game. Was it a walk-off?
Tie game, bottom of the 11th inning.
And he pulled a Rich Haskell, I think.
He did. He pulled a Rich Haskell.
Explain yourself. When did that happen to me?
Okay, let me finish. Bottom of the 11th inning, the Auburn kid, or the Florida kid, hits a walk-off home run, but it was a ball that would have been a double, but the outfielder for Auburn, Kevin Williams was his name, goes back to catch it. It hits off his glove. It goes over the wall. And when it happened to you was in the start of the Winooski Wiffle Ball Classic last year in left field.
Very first batter.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that was just like
that. Did that go off his head, Rich's head? No.
No, that was a Canseco thing. Mine went right off my hands.
We hit him in a bad spot.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for that kid. He just must feel awful.
Oh,
by the way,
saw the look.
I'm just kind of curious. Has anything ever happened, as our listeners out there, has anything bad like that ever happened to you in a sporting event? Use the Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. I don't even remember seeing something like that. You know what I mean? Or
it was
crazy.
I think the key to it was the gravity of the situation. I mean, it was a walk-off, and that sent them to the World Series. And this is what you play for all season long, both Auburn and Florida. They're both powerhouses. But it was the way that it happened. It just reminded
horrible.
Me a little bit, of, not quite as strange, but the Jose Canseco off the head and over the fence from many years ago.
Yeah, and let's remember, though, this was still a tough play. He was still running all the way back to the wall. His head's bobbing all over the place. I wouldn't say it was an easy play.
No.
Or it was on the level of Kevin Mitchell or Canseco or anything from 25 years ago. It's just, I just feel bad for the kid that a chance to go to the College World Series, and Auburn has the number one overall pick in the draft and the pitcher, Casey Mize, so they have a good team trying to get to Omaha, and it's going to end on a ball that, it was not a routine play by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a ball that he got his glove on and he very well could have caught.
The only thing I can come close to is when I was in high school, the other team was shooting a free throw. The guy missed. Our guy, of course, has the inside lane, grabs the rebound, and puts it right back in for him.
But you're going to say it went off your bald head.
No, we're like, what are you doing? He goes, after the game, he's like, I had such good position. I go, you were getting the rebound. He got the rebound, put it right, but nobody stopped him. What are you doing?
And as sad as that one was, how great was that? Oh, the pitcher who struck out his best friend. Did you see the video? This is quite viral. And everybody comes out to hug him and celebrate. He just kind of moves away from them and goes and hugs the kid he just struck out to end the game as his teammates celebrate on the mound without him.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Arnie's not into good sportsmanship.
I didn't say a word yet.
Go ahead, you Grinch. Let's hear it.
No, I mean, if that kid's more important than his own damn teammates that he's been all year long with, then fine, so be it.
He grew up with that
I know
kid.
That. What, so 5 years?
So, yes.
That kid is more important.
Unreal.
And by the way, it looked like he knew he was going to strike him out because he was like halfway down the home plate by the time the kid swung and missed already.
How do you sleep at night?
I had tears.
Just take something positive and just go with it.
I would have just congratulated my teammates, walked over to him and given him a hug and saying sorry. That's it.
I thought it was cool.
It would have been cool if he would have congratulated his teammates first and then walked over. Wouldn't have lost anything in the translation.
You don't.
I would have gone over to him. I would have gone over to the guy after the game. I'm with Arnie. I would have celebrated in the moment.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very cool.
If that happened, we never would have heard about it or seen it. I don't think he was doing it to get famous, but I don't know. I just think he got caught up in the moment, and that's what he did. I think it's a very wonderful thing.
I think he had a plan.
Rich is in the
strike him out, yeah.
Rich is in the I hate everybody gets a trophy, but I do love when everybody gets a trophy camp. Rich hates competition.
Right.
You
I
hate
do
competition.
Hate every. Absolutely. No 0-20 sports team should be in a playoff.
Wow.
Right. But that being said, I thought that was a nice moment.
But you also hate when people try too hard at things. And
when they try too hard to get on, to get famous or to get on tape, on video.
Like, I can't. This is why I would never go to play basketball
he's
with
He's going to use my voice now.
He's like,
this is why I. Go ahead, imitate me.
I would never go play basketball with you guys because you guys just take it way too seriously.
Right.
I hate when people play hard.
So how does that make me hypocritical? I mean, this is, how is that playing hard? How is that winning?
Who do you agree with?
The opposite of that.
Do you agree with me and Brady? Would you have celebrated with your teammates first, then? Give your best friend a hug or what?
You hate the people that try too hard, and now you're going out. You also hate everybody gets a trophy. So who do you actually
like?
What
you're saying.
You hate
the people that just stay out of the way.
You hate the people that compete. You hate the people that get the trophy and get the medal.
Anyone. Well, I like that pitcher. That's all
I think if
say.
I was the pitcher, I would have held up the L on my forehead. Loser! Oh. I'm just kidding. It was just a joke.
Wow.
It's a good,
wow.
It's good sportsmanship. It's
yes,
cool.
Of course it's good sportsmanship.
It's a feel-good story in a time when there's very few of those.
But I would have found a... I thought a feel-good story was Dennis Rodman playing diplomat. That's
yeah,
what I
thought. He was crying, and I was crying. I couldn't believe it.
Someone please explain to me how it is that Dennis Rodman has an in on that whole situation.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're weird enough, I guess sometimes you can find yourself in some weird situations.
But I mean, if you looked at that situation with un and said, who is the most unlikely human on this earth out of all the 50 billion or I don't know what the population of the world is, most unlikely person to get through to that guy, who would it be?
Arnie.
I would put Dennis Rodman near the top.
I'd probably be second.
Yeah.
I would have been second. I wouldn't have been up there with
Rodman. Yeah, you would have been up there.
I don't know.
Luckily, it's not all about you. So
unbelievable. All right, we got a busy show. Lots to get to. Burger Bar trivia tonight. Make sure you're out there. Brady, what do we got coming up?
Well, we got Half Price Burgers at trivia. Remember tonight, 7:30 to 9:30. We'll see you over at the Burger Bar. You can always listen on the Amazon Echo just by saying enable 101.3 ESPN. The mistake of the day you can get in for that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. It's brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. As for today, the Celtics are afraid to talk to Kyrie about LeBron. Tom Caron of Nesson at 4:35. Which titleless team is about to get their first title next? We've had the Eagles. We've had the Capitals. Who's the next to break the drought? Thoughts on a possible Bruins move this offseason? Rich, a little offseason hockey talk
Bruins.
Just for you.
Wow, nice.
But let me guess what we're going to start with.
We're going to start with the Patriots.
Wow.
Surprise, surprise.
And I'll bet it's a rumor.
It's Robert Kraft squashing a rumor.
I love Robert Kraft, but go ahead.
Robert Kraft at OTAs talking about the Gronk rumors and, well, taking a little shot at us.
That you all
That's not where it's supposed to start. Here we go.
Sing a tune.
When your team is good, people are looking for things. And I'll just tell you, it's a bunch of hogwash that I vetoed some trade. That was never in the works. It's just completely made up. And I think we have to be careful in society today that people just can't come out and say things. And this bit about us trading Gronk to the 49ers or Tennessee, it just, there's no basis to it, and it gets a life of its own. And I just want to go on record at today's event to make sure that you all understand that there's no truth to that, and I don't, people shouldn't be able to do that.
He's just finishing up his dessert.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I said this yesterday. I said the fact that no other media person in Tennessee or San Francisco picked up on this, I certainly had questions. And I love rumors about a guy getting traded here. I think, 80% of them or so turned out to be false. So I enjoy it. But I think some media people in the media do have to be held responsible for putting out bogus stuff after bogus stuff. And so many of them are wrong, and they don't have to face the consequences or the backlash. And I'm not talking about predicting games. Big difference between Brady, who do you like in this game, or who I like in that game. You know, it's a coin flip when you're looking at the gambling. But media people, especially these insiders, are so careless with their information. It does bother the hell out of me.
Yeah, sometimes journalists and reporters are careless with the information, and they do deserve to be held accountable. But let's not... Robert Kraft is to come out here and basically insult the 24-hour news cycle and the constant drumming up of storylines about his team and all that. You can save that one at the door for me as far as I'm concerned. Robert Kraft has made so many millions of dollars on the NFL getting to a place where it is what we talk about for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It is what we talk about 24 hours a day. It is why we go and check. It's why every morning Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport are two of the first Twitter accounts that I check basically to see what happened overnight while I was sleeping. Robert Kraft and his franchise have profited greatly on that kind of attitude that fans and people in the media have, and the media has capitalized on that. His sport is popular. He's gotten rich because of it, so you can check that one at the
door.
He's
gotten rich because his team has Tom Brady on it, and they win a lot, and they have some controversial figures, so that keeps them constantly in the 24/7 cycle. I mean, the fact that the team is always good has something to do with it, doesn't it?
Yes, but the sport being as popular as it is...
Yeah, it has nothing to do with them being good. The Giants... could go through it. The Jets have not been all that great for how long, but yet they're in New York in the market. That's why the Rams go from St. Louis to Los Angeles.
But I mean, and I understand it's because it is a 24/7 social media time now, but I mean, I don't remember them ever having anyone care about them when they were 5-11 every single season. I mean, obviously it's a tough comparison because it was a million years ago, but I don't know. How much do you hear about rumors regarding the Jacksonville Jaguars every day?
Well, I'm sure in Jacksonville they probably get it down there, too. I mean, I don't know the intricate makings and who's fighting out for what spot. If there's two guys, one's got to go, I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
I mean, we hear about the Cleveland Browns a lot, and they're 0-16. We hear about Josh Gordon. We hear about Baker Mayfield. We hear about Hard Knocks, Hugh Jackson jumping in Lake Erie. The NFL is such its own machine, and the NFL has profited greatly. So for every... you know, thing that puts ownership in a weird predicament. And if this isn't true, let's put it out there. If it's not true, it puts Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, Gronk all in the crosshairs of a very uncomfortable situation. And I would feel badly for the Patriots and those parties involved about that. But for every miss that you have, for every awkward encounter like that, there's 150 other positive things that the 24-hour news cycle has created for Robert Kraft and his business.
I think so much of what drives this toward the media towards the Patriots looking for scoops and looking for the dirt is Bill Belichick. I think he has done to the media something that they do not appreciate, and he continues to beat them. And, I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, he's always got control of everything when it comes to the media. He's one of those guys they just can't get through to.
No. You know, but before Twitter, before all this, I want you remember when I told you a story that how I broke one Clipper story, one trade? Wasn't that big of a deal. What I did tell you is that they gave me the story on a Friday. The trade didn't go through till Monday. And I caught a lot of grief on Saturday and Sunday because the trade had not gone through. My boss had called me, wanted to know if I had some bogus information, and you know, things kind of got uptight with me. I was saying to myself, if this doesn't go through on Monday, I'm coming on the air and I'm going to tell everybody who gave me that story. I was going to rat the guy out saying, hey, this is who I got it from, because I was tired of people giving bogus stories. And I'm like, first thing I'm doing Monday afternoon, 3 o'clock LA time, is I'm telling everybody who my source was. Because I was tired of it. I've never seen anybody really do that. Nobody ever releases their source because a lot of them are BS. A lot of them are kind of, and if you look at the wording, it's, you know, and you know better than I do, Brady, the wording is how they do it where they can't get into trouble, you know? They don't hold it to 100% or even where they're even accountable. You know what I'm saying?
Look, and I think, yes, that's a journalistic trick of the trade.
Yes, yes.
And let's understand this too, though. I believe that somewhere in here there's some truth. I don't know if it's 100% as Adam Kirchin, who's formerly of the Boston Herald, was reporting that Brady was going to retire if Gronk was traded and all that. I don't know that it's 100% true, but I believe there's some shred of truth in there. I'm just going to open up the curtain for a second and tell our audience this. The Patriots are incredibly difficult to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you if you are not in the inner circle media, you get nothing. Why do we not have any Patriots players on the air? Simply put, the Patriots won't let us.
Right. And that was my question to you.
We wanted to broadcast last year from Patriots training camp. They told us no, even though we are an affiliate. So they are not letting people in the building that they do not feel are qualified enough to be there. So if somebody's in the building, they certainly have the ability to have good relationships, because not many people have good relationships with the Patriots. I believe that there is some truth to Adam Kirchin's report. I don't know if it's 20% or 80%, but there's some truth there.
But, I mean, do you agree with me to a point that those are the little things, and there's a million of those kind of stories, like you just told us, of the Patriots putting the screws to the media and giving them absolutely nothing that comes back to get them in the form of these stories, like yesterday's with Gronk getting traded, which had multiple layers to it?
Yeah, I don't think so, because I think the media knows how the Patriots are to other media like us, and they just say one false step and we could be on the outside and have all our access revoked and all that. So I don't think that the media does that just for laughs with the Patriots, but I do think that if you're in the building, they see you credible, and therefore if they see you credible, I don't know who you could be talking to that's going to feed you the right info.
Big Mike and McGillicuddy's Rich is totally right about Belichick and the media. He's worse than Popovich. Popovich hates the in-game interviews, not the rest. Belichick makes all these sessions, media sessions, painful. It is painful. He's about the worst. He's worse than Popovich.
Oh, he is.
And
I mean, at least Popovich is somewhat somewhat humorous at times. I mean, with his sarcasm, you don't even get that from Belichick.
No, you don't even get that. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Celtics, are they afraid to approach Kyrie Irving with a possible idea?
All right, we'll get to that next right here on 101.3.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball. Ah! Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. That's Rich rocking out, of course.
Yeah, a little Bachman-Turner overweight.
BTO. There you. Wow, look at you. Look at you. Town Fair Tire text line. You guys got to pick it up on the Town Fair Tire text line. Shame on you with everything going on. 802-655-6672. Just a couple things we were asking. One, has anything crazy happened while you were playing sports like that? Was it Auburn? That's who it was, the Auburn baseball player with a ball went off his glove, home run, game winner.
Oh.
You kind of feel the heartstrings on that one.
By the way, if you've been watching the College World Series, it is
just a little
fantastic.
Bit. Just a little bit. Man, Ron, you must be loving it.
I do.
Oh, I love it. The super regionals, the regionals, except for the fact that Cal State Fullerton lost the other night to Washington.
I saw that. Did you see the fat guy that hit the home run?
Yes. Yes. That was games ago.
I know. I love that. All right. What's going on with Kyrie? Why is he being so sensitive? What's going on here?
Well, it's not so much that he's being sensitive. It's that the Celtics obviously have interest in LeBron James. Every team in the NBA has interest in LeBron James. And the summer of LeBron, as they're already calling it. Well, part of the reason, the sole reason that Kyrie wanted out of Cleveland is that he reportedly wanted away from LeBron James. He wanted out of his shadow, under his thumb. He wanted away from all of it. And as a result, the Celtics, A, don't know if he could play with LeBron, and B, they don't know if they should even bring it up to him because he's so anti-LeBron right now. Do you think, one, they should care what Kyrie thinks about it, and two, how big a deal is this?
It's a big deal. They should care what Kyrie thinks about it because that's the guy I'm giving the max contract for because I'm still the one getting rid of Gordon Hayward. So with that being said, yeah, if he's going to be the face of your team and LeBron's really just going to be a guy that's going to give you 1-2 years, probably 2 years, maybe three. I've got to talk to Kyrie, see how he feels about it because I got to see what happened in Cleveland and what put him in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is a situation where you have Kyrie saying he wants to get away from Cleveland and he wants to be the star. And then, 2 years later, here comes LeBron back to the scene. First of all, I'm completely against LeBron coming to the Celtics. I was for it about a week ago, and I've changed my mind. I just don't want to blow up that team. I think they're positioned for greatness for several years to come. Why mess with it?
The Kyrie situation, even if you take LeBron out of it, the Kyrie contract situation is going to hamstring this team all summer long. They need to figure out what Kyrie wants to do, and they need to figure out what they want to do with him. And it needs to happen this summer. He's got 2 years left on his deal, but the second year, he can opt out after next year. So I figure he's got 1 year left on his deal.
So 1 year potentially with LeBron.
1 year potentially with LeBron. But regardless of that, they need to figure out what his long-term plans are. If he wants to be in Boston, can he handle playing with LeBron again? AKA, can they sign Kyrie long-term, and then is he okay playing with LeBron? If he is, then you go and you trade Gordon Hayward and you trade Marcus Morris, and you can make it work money-wise if you do those things. If Kyrie says, I am not okay playing with LeBron, and I will sign long-term, then you honor what he wants, and you build your team around Kyrie moving forward with the core that you have. And if he says, look, I'm not okay playing with LeBron, and I don't know if I'm going to sign long-term, then what do you do in that situation?
Well, I was going to say, there's a good chance that both won't come here. There's a good chance you could lose Kyrie, and really good chance that LeBron's not going to come
there's
here.
There's an absolute chance you could lose Kyrie.
Well, let me start with LeBron. The latest rumor is Ronnie James, LeBron's son.
I'm so uninterested in where his kid goes to school. Just so you know that.
Okay, well, the rumor is that he is, this is from Gary Payton. So,
yeah, I know. Yeah,
oh, you heard that. Gary Payton said that he is registered as
enrolled
in school at Sierra Canyon to play with Scottie Pippen's kid and Kenyon Martin's kid.
And that is where it sounds like California.
Yes. Yeah,
anything with the word canyon.
Yeah, yeah. The outskirts of Los Angeles. So okay. I've been saying for a long time, I don't know if his kid's going to Brentwood or going to that school, but I get a feeling he's going to Los Angeles. As for Kyrie, though, Yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and talk to him because I'm going to give him the max deal before his contract's up. I can't have him holding that over my head that he's going to leave. I know you guys love to do that, but you don't think these guys have the power.
What if he flat out doesn't want to sign?
Well, then
right
we got
now.
A problem now. Now we got a problem. There's a chance that because maybe Kyrie just doesn't like Boston. You know, Boston has not been friendly to African-American athletes. I don't know if you guys know that. So I'm not so sure. I don't know how it is now, and that only Kyrie could answer that. But who knows if he wants to stay in Boston, which is another part of this thing.
Well, it's a tricky situation as far as the Celtics and the way they handle Kyrie anyway on this one. Do you go to Kyrie and say, what do you think? You want to bring LeBron in here? And then, of course, the media catches into the fact that they went to Kyrie to find out. And if LeBron suddenly decides he's going somewhere else, guess whose fault it is that he didn't come to Boston? Whether it is or not, it's Kyrie's.
The first question is, Kyrie, where are we at right now with you? Do you want to stay here? If you want to stay here, let's get a long-term deal done because then we can start to figure out the other pieces. Do we have to clear salary cap? Do we have to go and get rid of Marcus Morris? Do we have to trade? No. Do you want to play with Kawhi Leonard? Do you want to play with LeBron? Is there somebody that you want to play with that we can go get, or do you like this team as presently constructed? Because if he's going to hold it over his head, now I'm going to wait and hit the open market, then you're totally hamstrung by what you do. And then at that point, I'd do what we'd said all along, possibly. I'd trade Kyrie. Mm-hmm. If he's gonna threaten to leave and not sign long-term, then as much as I love him, I'd go and try to get somebody else.
I've said all along, Kyrie to me is damaged goods. I just don't trust that knee. Don't trust it. I mean, 2 years in a row now. What's going to happen next year? Who knows?
You said the same thing about Gordon Hayward after his injury just now.
We've talked about this before, and I've said I think Gordon Hayward's was more of a black and white issue. I think he broke his ankle, and it's healing. I know he had some screws taken out or whatever, and had some discomfort, but that's the kind of thing that I think you get over. Knee issues, trust me, knee issues don't go away.
Yes, doctor. But, you know...
Well, you know, you saw me hobbling around today in the gym.
I understand that. But as for who's going to be more important, and when you take a look at age, too, Gordon Hayward is really just like a third piece of a puzzle. And he's not the guy. And look, maybe this all happened because he missed a year and they thrived without him. So maybe that's not fair to him, but I don't see why he has to really fit into this team right now.
But they also thrived without Kyrie.
Yeah, they thrived, but Kyrie got him to a certain point. And Kyrie's young, and you can't get rid of all your superstars. And they are a better team with Kyrie. I'm not going to say they're a better team. Utah became better without Gordon Hayward. And Donovan Mitchell, obviously, was a big part of that.
The biggest risk the Celtics have is that they trade Hayward to get LeBron, and then they alienate Kyrie, right, and Kyrie leaves in free agency. That's the worst-case scenario. Yeah, you get LeBron with Tatum and Brown and Horford maybe for 2-3 years, and that sounds
that's
good. Cause,
a damn good team.
Because maybe you win a championship or two, but at the end of the day, do you want to get rid of Hayward and alienate Kyrie to the point that he leaves? Those are things the front office has to wrestle with, and they need to figure out Kyrie's long-term vision. This offseason, you can't have him playing next year as a pseudo-free agent.
Alex and Moncton, why not just ask Kyrie? If he doesn't mind, you can go after... If he doesn't mind, you can go after LeBron. If he doesn't want LeBron, then it shows him that the front office values him as a player. And, you know, I botched that up.
No, but I see what you mean. Yeah. You could look at it that way, I guess. Yeah. Green-colored glasses, I suppose.
Yeah, I would ask him, but I'm not going to go ahead and let him have the upper hand over me when it comes to contract. Brady, what do we have coming up next?
About Tom Caron of Nesson.
TC! We'll get to TC coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Does the boss want that you have a radio in your office? No sweat. You can plug in those headphones at your desk and listen to The Huddle. Always streaming at 101.3ESPN.com.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Beautiful Tuesday out there. Let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now from Ness, as he does every week, it's Tom Caron. How you doing, TC?
Good. How are we doing, guys?
About that pitching performance yesterday, right? And the bullpen. Unbelievable. What a great outing.
It was a great outing, no doubt about it. Fifth shutout of the year. Wright is over 22 innings now since he's given up a run. Longest streak in the American League. He's been the real deal. And that bullpen, I'll tell you what now, you go back to last month, the bullpen has been unbelievable. The homestand, the ERA was under 2 last night. You know, Kelly comes in, bases loaded, and gets the strikeout. Of course, his fastball, 97, looked about 197 after those knuckleballs. So, good job last night. They needed it because they weren't hitting. You know, they're in a funk offensively right now, so the pitching's got to be there.
Yeah, who had Stephen Wright as the savior of the pitching staff preseason? I mean, they weren't even sure that guy was going to be able to play, let alone be the at least the temporary ace of the staff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 2 years ago the guy was an all-star, and I've sort of been pretty consistent saying he belongs in the rotation. I said that before the season. I said that last season before he messed up his knee. But you know, as soon as Pomeranz was having his struggles, the DL couldn't come at a better time to give Wright the opportunity. Because right now, he's looking, you know, I said a post-game show last night, he's looking like Tim Wakefield 1995. I mean, the guy, you know, we've seen knuckleballers, when they go on a run like this, it can last a while. So sit back and enjoy.
TC, as far as the offense, look, they don't hit against the White Sox. 1-for-23 with runners in scoring position. Yesterday, they're scoreless until the 12th inning. What are we seeing from this offense?
Well, you're seeing a team in a funk. I mean, this stuff happens over the course of a baseball season, the ebbs and flows. You hate it when the whole team goes in a funk together. I'm not worried about it. I mean, it's not like, you know, they were in the middle of the pack offensively. They were one of, if not the best offenses in baseball. And you know, you've been doing it without Mookie Betts, who's not in the lineup again tonight. You've been without him now for 16 of the last 17 games or whatever it is. What you're concerned about, because it has been over the long haul, is the lack of production from the bottom of the lineup. You know, this was supposed to be, you know, they like to call it a relentless lineup, a deep lineup, a lineup that can cause trouble top to bottom. Well, we haven't seen it from the bottom. There's a huge drop-off when you get down to the back end of this lineup, and that's got to change. You know, we keep waiting for Bradley to get hot. It hasn't happened. Catchers have started to hit better, but you haven't had a lot of production out of the catchers. That's the concern here. I'm not worried about, you know, JD Martinez going hitless in a couple of games. The guy's arguably the best hitter in baseball. But, you know, the guys who haven't been hitting at the bottom end, they haven't been hitting all year. That's the bigger concern.
TC, Rich and Brady, shout me down on this. So let me see if I can get through to you. How many teams have their best average hitter on base percentage, slugging percentage, home runs, RBIs, batting leadoff? Is that really the optimal place for Mookie Betts?
Yes, I'm with them. You're wrong.
Again.
Yeah, we went through that last year, and the guy just, listen, I've asked Mookie Betts this personally many, many times. He thinks of himself as a leadoff hitter. He's most comfortable as a leadoff hitter. And you know what? I'm all for getting a leadoff home run and having a 1-0 lead right out of the gate. Why mess it up if it works best there? Right?
But how many teams do that, TC? No, nobody has their best hitter batting leadoff.
Well, you see it more and more, right? Houston has Springer. Might not be their best hitter, but he's certainly one of their best hitters and one of their best power threats. And you know, the Yankees were playing around with different guys at the top of the lineup for a while. Now, he works there. You got JD. Listen, you weren't asking me this 3 weeks ago when he was helping me and they were cranking out runs. You know, just because they've gone a little bit of a sidestep here, suddenly you're trying to reinvent it. I mean, this offense has been good. I would just relax a little bit. I think they'll be fine.
Now, I noticed tonight Nunez is going to lead off. I mean, was Betts supposed to sit tonight? And also, do you find it interesting that Nunez is leading off instead of Benintendi, who's batting behind him?
Well, yeah, two things there. I think that, you know, with Betts, I'm not sure they were going to sit him out. Alex Cora is very cautious as far as giving guys rest. And I do think that the fact that he played 11 innings last night factored into it. They took him out. I mean, we haven't heard from Alex yet. That'll be coming up in a few moments. And I'm waiting to hear what he says about Betts because I'm hoping that nothing happened. I'm hoping that he was just taken out last night because it was 11 innings and that he is just sitting out today because they've decided that, you know, they need to ease him back in. This is what you knew might happen once he decided not to go with the minor league rehab. As far as Nunez, I like the move. I mean, not necessarily because Nunez is a leadoff hitter, but Benintendi to me is a great number two hitter. He's hitting so well. Let's even get a guy in base on front of him and have Benintendi drive him in. I kind of like Benintendi as a two hitter as opposed to the leadoff hitter. I know he's done a good job filling in for Betts, but, then, you know, again, you're trying to figure out ways to deepen this lineup so there's not quite as much of a drop-off. You move Nunez up, who's been hitting pretty well over the last few weeks, and you slide everybody back down a spot.
Tom Karen of Nesson joining us here on The Huddle. He does it every Tuesday at this time on 101.3 ESPN. TC, we asked this question last week. You shot it down. We see it today all over The Athletic. Could this team send Rafael Devers down?
Yeah, well, and they've been talking about it. Other people have talked about it. They could. I just still don't think they will. And I said it last week. I'll say it again now. I mean, he made two really good defensive plays last night. He wound up going opposite field with a double in the 12th that led off the rally and really got you in a position to score a couple of runs. He's 21 years old, and I think their belief is that you will be able to work these things out at the major league level. Cora goes out and works with them in the infield pretty regularly. He made a massive play with a guy on third last night that kept it scoreless and turned in a couple of good defensive plays. So, sure, they could. I'll just be surprised if they do.
You think they're better than the Yankees right now, or is this really the Yankees division to win, and they're just trying to keep close right now?
Well, the key words you're saying, you said it twice there, is right now. Right now, they don't have Mookie Betts in the lineup, and you're not sure he's healthy. Right now, they don't have Dustin Pedroia in the lineup either. So right now, I think the Yankees are a better team, but then you jump to, is it their division to win? I'm still not sure that, when those guys are back, the Red Sox pitching the way they are able to pitch, I think the Red Sox have the better chance because of the pitching. Now, I will withhold judgment because I think Brian Cashman is going to go add pitching before it's all said and done, and that could be a whole different story. You drop in a top-line starter to that Yankees team, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was what I was going to ask you. How much of what the Yankees do, and I think they're going to have to do something with Tanaka gone, I mean, we'll say indefinitely, although it doesn't sound like that. But, I mean, does what the Yankees do impact anything the Red Sox do?
No, because they just don't have the money to do it. I mean, they have the money, don't get me wrong. They have more money than any of us would know what to do with. But they're, you know, as we know, they're up against that final threshold of luxury tax spending. And if they go over it, it gets into draft order, and it gets into compensatory picks, and it gets into a really high percentage of tax. And they're not going to do that. So there's only a few million to spend at most. I think it's $2 or $3 million they have before they get to that next level. And so that means, that, you know, anybody they would take in, they would pretty much have to get rid of that same amount of payroll. So unlike the Yankees, who are way under the threshold right now, the Red Sox don't have much spending room.
TC, we were talking about the upcoming offseason already, and we were talking about what the Red Sox do with Craig Kimbrell. One, do you think they would be able to afford him? And two, if they couldn't, do you think they would try to re-sign Joe Kelly at a lower rate and make him the closer? Or could they realistically lose both those guys in free agency?
Well, they could lose both of them, no question about that. And to answer your question, I think they'll try to re-sign Kimbrell, but I do not think they will go into that real high-end elite closer money that these guys get. So that brings me to your next part, which is, would they consider Kelly? Absolutely. I think every day we see Kelly morph into the type of guy who could be your closer. Last night was a perfect example. You know, you scoreless game, seventh inning, bases loaded. You bring him in to face Adam Jones? Come on now. That doesn't get any more stressful than that. And he just throws gas and strikes him out. But having said all that, I mean, sure, there's a point where you lose both of them, and now you're starting from scratch on the back end of the bullpen. I find it hard to believe they would let both leave. I think you'll see at least one of those guys back as a closer next year.
ATC, the first All-Star game balloting is out today, and we see that J.D. Martinez is leading at DH, and Mookie Betts is the leading vote-getter in the AL. I got to say, I think the fans have done a pretty good job with the American League so far. What did you think of the early round of All-Star votes? Does it feel right to you to have two Red Sox in the starting nine?
Yeah, that seems about right, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not sure who else you would throw in as a starter. Benintendi had a slow start, and it's hard to get him, at the top after that. I don't see anybody else as a starter. I think the other starters or the other top vote-getters would be on the pitching side, which they don't do. So, yeah, I think they got it right. Looking at the National League yesterday, the American League today, I think the voters have done a pretty good job so far. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what changes when Kansas City does the all-out thing and, you know, nine Kansas City players get voted in again. But until then, yeah, I think so far so good.
On this 85-degree sunny day, let's talk hockey for a second. I just saw some Bruins news that we're going to be talking about a little bit next year. They're considering signing Ilya Kovalchuk. Is he 50? I mean, when was the last time you heard that name?
Yeah, it's been a while, and I guess, you know, if Yager can't come back, you got to find the next oldest guy who's available. Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise, but, I mean, you kind of got, you know, with Gionta last year, and, you know, they've had success with some of these guys over time where they've brought back some older guys. As finishers and role players and leaders, I'm not sure where Kovalchuk fits into all of that. But it's interesting. I like the way Don Sweeney is willing to try things outside of the box.
Yeah.
Or willing to get guys with an AARP card. I mean, whatever it takes to make your team better.
Well, I got to assume all the eyes are going to be on you as we let you go, TC, because, you know, I've said this before. If the NBA, they would love Celtics, Lakers, or the NFL would love Pats, Giants. Yankees and Red Sox are the top two teams in baseball. When's baseball going to start focusing on that? You know what I mean? When is all eyes going to say Yankees, Red Sox, and we see all the commercials and stuff?
Yeah, well, you know, I said earlier this week that it's got a little bit of a feel like 1978. None of us like the way that ended, if you're old enough to remember, because the Yankees won that game. But, you know, you had two teams with 99 wins, and one went home and one went on to win the World Series. And it's got that kind of feeling that, you know, one of these two teams could wind up winning 100 games and either go to the wild card and lose or go to the wild card and, you know, win that wild card and lose the next round. I mean, you know, one of these teams is going to have to win a one-game playoff. And they're probably going to have to do it with the second or third best record in all of baseball. What I love is, you know, they finish with three against each other. They play each other once a month. It's going to be incredible when these two teams face each other as time goes on, because more and more we see they both can beat the heck out of these bad teams. And so what they do against each other is very well going to dictate who's the division winner and who's the wild card. And that is a massive difference in this game. Today, you know, it used to be we all remember that nobody cared, right? You know, you're all going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Red Sox first, Yankees second. Yankees first, Red Sox second. We'll see you in the postseason. Now, you want to avoid that one-game playoff because, you know, you might see Verlander. You might see Felix Hernandez, although he hasn't been that good this year. But, you know, who knows who you're going to see in a one-game playoff, right?
Yeah.
And you want to avoid that at all costs.
That's all I know. It'll be good this summer. TC, always a pleasure, my friend. Have a great week. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Tom Caron joining us from Nesson, as he does every week. So, that's going to be the big thing. It'll be Red Sox, Yankees all over the place. Look, he threw your Mariners in there.
I'm not saying it.
Well, I don't want to jinx it, huh?
Buster, Mariners, Sox, one-game playoff.
Buster did a podcast about the Mariners, and I'm going to tell him next time I talk to him.
Wow.
Don't do it, Buster. Just keep doubting. Keep doubting.
They don't exist.
We'll finish off hour one with Gone But Not Forgotten. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
Hi, Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington. A family's love is forever real. Feel free to contact them 24/7. Elmwood Meunier even has affordable options for your pets. They have green burials. Been in Burlington for over 50 years. Give them a call. I'll start things off. Gone. And he wasn't forgotten. He should have been forgotten because I don't think he's going to have much of a career. But he's back. He's back after being gone. Andrew Luck threw in front of reporters today, albeit he threw it with a smaller football. I don't know if it was like a Nerf or something, though. He used a college football, which is considerably smaller. But he is back, threw 20 to 25 times. I think this is a joke. I can't believe this guy's been gone. How long has he been gone? Like a year and a half?
Yes.
Oh, 2 years almost. And this guy's throwing a college football? Why not just strut out there with a toy football and just call it a day? Unbelievable.
Is it safe? Are we way too early calling him a bust?
Yes. No.
Because he was very good on an awful team.
Yes, he's not a bust.
All right. What was he, 26? 27?
He's about 29.
Okay.
He is a bust.
Couple more years.
Wouldn't touch him with my first 20 picks at quarterback.
Gone but not forgotten, the sanity of the minor league baseball system. A team in New York, in fact, the Staten Island Yankees, spent a lot of time in that press box last summer, is rebranding itself as the Staten Island Pizza Rats.
The Pizza Rats.
I mean, what? Is there anything left?
Why?
And this is not just, you know how they do it for one game?
Yeah.
Just to make, obviously, for merchandising purposes. And promotionals. They're doing it for all five Saturday home games this year. So every time, if you're doing play-by-play, you have to call them, whether you're home or away, the Pizza Rats.
Well, the best name is still the Making Whoopie.
Oh, yeah, that was the classic. That was the best hockey team, I think, wasn't it? Can you imagine doing their games?
Brady, there's been some real crazy baseball names like long, long time ago.
Yeah, so you have T-shirts for all.
Yeah, but they're so racist now,
but
I can't wear them.
Trust me, I can tell you, spending a lot of time down there at that park, Richmond County Ballpark right there by the Statue of Liberty, there's no one in that park, which makes no sense to me. It's right at the ferry dock. It's the Yankees. No one was in it. So good for them. They're at least trying. But the Pizza Rats?
Gone but not forgotten. Rain Supple's college career officially. The CVU graduate and now a member of the Colorado Rockies officially signed his first pro contract yesterday. So he will head off to the minor leagues. Rumor has it he'll be all the way out in Boise. We're rooting for you,
Boise.
Pal.
Dinner on him, yes. Boise, Idaho, huh?
Hey, that's a good league. I hope he's ready for some bus rides.
You can, Jake and Wilson, I assume it's in conjunction with Chuck E. Cheese.
The Pizza Rats?
The Pizza Rats? I don't know. I don't think so.
Doesn't say. I'm sure it's in conjunction with something.
Yeah, I don't think you want that associated with a
He's calling the team the freshest. Staten Island Pizza Rats, a Staten Island tradition since 2018.
Hour one. But by the way, thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. Make sure you give them a call. Family's love is forever real. Feel free to contact them 24/7. Elmwood Meunier has been with us from the very start. Hour one in the books. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. Come back. We'll get you ready for hour two right here on 101.3 ESPN.
If it has to do with sports, we're talking about it. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. The Sports Station, 101.3 ESPN. You think what Arnie says on the show is irritating? You should hear him during the commercial break. It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. Only on 101.3. ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle already at 101.3 ESPN. It's a Tuesday. We all got the day off tomorrow because the Red Sox are playing during the day.
Whoa.
You do know there's a chance of rain tomorrow in Baltimore.
Oh, 20%. Stop. I'll take the 80%.
I don't have the day off. I'm going to be here all day. Just don't have the show. No.
What are you
Sucks
doing
to be
then?
You.
There's no show. So what are you going to be doing all day tomorrow besides sitting around playing games on your computer like you were about to say?
Playing catch up on all the things that I still have to catch up on.
Like what?
What?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, I've got stuff to catch up on, too.
Need new promos made for our station.
Done.
Well, you don't know how to do
done.
That.
Done. Rich will take care of that.
Not tomorrow, I won't.
You don't know how to do the first thing there.
No, I don't, but
I've got to work with Jamie, the operations director.
I don't know how to do that either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I got plenty of work to do.
Is there anything I can do to help things?
Stay away.
Yeah. Leave.
I don't think there's one thing I could do to help.
So you basically have all day tomorrow off. All day. You could sleep till noon and do nothing.
You got tomorrow off, too.
Do you know what? What are you talking about? The alarm goes off at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I think I'm going to sleep late. Sleep till like noon.
You going to play basketball at Pomeroy Park?
Oh, yeah. Start some fights. I'm up for that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Pomeroy Park. A mellow bunch over there.
I love it there. I'm totally going to be there. The knee's okay. Feeling okay. So
yeah, wait till you wake up in the morning. See how that goes.
Trivia tonight. Make sure you come on out. We'll have a lot of fun as always and some good crowds out there. So fabulous prizes. Great specials. It starts at 7:30. Trivia. As we do every Tuesday night at the Burger Bar. So definitely looking forward to that. Brady, you had something on Bar Rescue. What's going on there?
So a lot of people, Bar Rescue is on the Paramount Network. It used to be Spike.
I thought it was the Bar Rescue Network.
They run the giant marathons of it every Sunday. Yes. John Taffer yells at everyone.
Yes, who should be punched hard by someone, by the way.
I love that guy.
Oh, what a tool.
I love that guy.
Really, I just want to reach through my TV and strangle him.
You do know I want to get him on this show. Would you tell him that?
No.
Sort of like Shea Hillenbrand.
Yeah. He's so much bigger than you.
I'm still working on getting Shea Hillebrand back, by the way.
He heard about what I said about him, and that was the end of that.
So Bar Rescue, they have the mixologist experts, where they bring in these guys who and women who will help the bar that they're fixing up with their drink recipes and all that.
Yep.
So one of the mixologists is this guy, Phil Wills. Phil Wills is in Burlington today. I found out on Instagram.
Whoops.
Is he fixing up a bar here for an episode?
No, his wife is a prominent local musician. She's from Vermont. Her name is, Myra Flynn.
Yeah, she's great.
So she performs all over the place.
Notice I'm complimenting everybody now that I find out this guy is in town, potentially listening.
Let's hire him for a party.
Myra Flynn is great.
So Phil Wills from the Bar Rescue fame, the mixologist, one of the best mixologists in the country, he is here supporting his wife and her music, and she's at the at UVM today, I believe.
Always wanted to be a bartender, but I don't know how to mix drinks.
Too much liability for me to be a bartender.
I can see you losing your cool people after you'd last about 3 minutes.
And I don't like to, do the little tricks with the bottles, how you flip them around. I'd be dropping them all over the place. It'd be costing us fortune,
I see you being more of the bouncer that doesn't actually bounce, just yells. Right.
Just yells and calls the police.
Right.
Absolutely. Help me. I can't go to get somebody bigger here than me there. But I can't mix drinks. I'm not. I can pour beer after like five or six pours. I keep dumping out the foam. Yeah. That's going to waste a lot of money.
Your boss would love that.
Nowadays, you just push a button and it comes out perfect. Does it not? I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah,
well, it seems to. I'm always at the other end of it, so
jeez.
I don't know.
I would love to, Brady. I thought you would know how to mix drinks out there.
Shane in Burlington says, "Rich, don't back off. That guy is a jerk for sure.
He is. Wow. Absolutely. He's an absolute tool.
I love that guy.
If that guy walked into my business and my business was failing, I'd say, sorry, I don't want your help.
No,
Go away. Stop.
No, you would not.
I wouldn't want anything to do with that guy.
No, you would not.
Ugh.
I love the way he yells at people.
You would live in debt and bankruptcy just because the guy yelled at you? Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Wait a minute. You didn't even give me a chance
to
say
it. We don't have to hear what you have to say.
No, absolutely. I don't want that guy helping me. I don't want to help him.
I'd be helping him
by being on his TV show.
So here you go.
Yeah.
I feel like Levitard. Put it on the poll. Down our tire text line, 802-655-6672. Would you rather live in bankruptcy and perpetual debt and have your business go out of business, or work with John Taffer? Which one would you rather do?
Show up and automatically everything works perfectly? How are those businesses doing six months afterwards?
Some of them have shut down because the owners are inept, right, which is what you would
hear about that.
I like the Prophet guy. You ever seen him?
The Prophet guy.
Where he helps people. He's like the same thing, buys companies and stuff like that. You never seen the Prophet? He's really good.
You like flip or flop where they flip the house.
Yes. But the Prophet guy's pretty good. He's pretty savvy. He's got a lot of dough, and he just does it himself. Buys in with companies like they're doing.
I cannot believe you'd rather live in debt than have John Taffer help you.
It's not like I'm not used to that.
You're selling your house. You're about to get out of debt.
Debt is about to be erased.
I want to own a bar. I went to our buddy that owns whatchamacallit.
Our buddy can't even remember his name or the bar.
What ails you? What's his name?
I should know that.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I said, hey, let's go in half. I'll turn this into a college rocking bar like you've never seen before in your life.
It already is. It does very well.
Well, I'll admit more. More. I'll have this place rocking.
Because Arnie's there.
Exactly. I'm telling you, I need to buy a bar. Either that or move to South Hero.
Go ahead. You're not moving to South Hero. You stay away from the islands.
I really do want to move there. I totally want to move there. Anybody selling their house, let me know on the Town Fair Time next line.
Yeah, that'll be cheap.
All right, Brady, what do we got going on this hour? What's happening?
Well, remember, mistake of the day. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. Trying to get that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. Thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. So we had a fun topic here, and we were talking about this before the show, and we wanted to bring it to the air. The Eagles, they won their first Super Bowl this year. The Capitals, they win their first Stanley Cup this year. What is the next team to win its first title in sports? Of the four major sports, what is the next team to win its first major title? There's about an average of 10 per league that have not won a title yet. So which one is the first?
Well, I give you who I think is going to win it and who should win it because they came so close and just failed. I mean, if you're going to look at baseball, Texas Rangers, I told you, came within one strike twice of winning a World Series.
Right. Aren't they in last place?
Yeah, they're horrible now. Yeah. What about the Brewers? Harvey's Wallbangers, didn't they have a good run too?
Yeah.
But we're talking about now. Now. But I have to go. But part of it, if we're just going by talent or who do we want to win?
No, who do we think is going to? Who's going to break their draft first?
This is not rocket science, Ernie.
No, because who I think is going to win and who I want to win are two different things.
That's
Or who's more deserving. And to me, who's more deserving is not who has the best team now. Okay. It's who suffered the most.
Right.
That's why I didn't want Vegas Golden Knights to win it all. But if we just want to go who has the best team and can win it, it's going to be the Mariners in baseball right now. No fans are butts about that.
I totally disagree with that.
Absolutely. The Washington Nationals are loaded up again, although once again, Strasburg is on the DL, and that's a huge thing. But anybody who has Max Scherzer in that supporting cast, Bryce Harper's not hitting at all this year. He's hitting about .225, but he will. And I cannot understand why the Nationals are never a player in Major League Baseball with that roster.
See, I think you're both wrong, and I think you're looking at the total wrong sport.
You mean over all four sports?
Yes.
Okay. I was talking about one per sport.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about all four sports.
Okay, then I'm saying the Nashville Predators.
Why? Go ahead. Okay, so the Nashville Predators?
Yes.
So
they're the closest I can think of to winning a championship in their sport.
I think that's wrong, too. I think it's the Atlanta Falcons.
I would have said Falcons, too.
And Atlanta came obviously so close, and they were up 28-3, and they should have. But when you look at, hopefully they get this Julio Jones situation figured out, because they need him, and they need to figure out his contract issues, and he's going to hold out and all this stuff, and it's going to get ugly. But when you have Matt Ryan and you have two elite-level running backs and Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, you have Julio Jones, you have Mohamed Sanu, you have an aggressive playmaking defense, a great safety in Keanu Neal, some good pass rushers. You play in a division that is getting better but has been favorable throughout the years. Carolina was down for a while. The Saints were down for a while, perpetually 7-9 or so. The Bucs have been down for a decade. It's a winnable division. That's the quickest way to the playoffs. The firepower the Falcons have on offense, they went into Los Angeles last year and won. I think the Falcons are primed to break their drought before anybody else.
Yeah, but they've had all that before. Yeah, they made it to a Super Bowl, but they still had all that before and failed. And now they're having problems with Julio. And by the way, if you look at the numbers strictly on Julio, they do just as well without Julio than they do with him. So that's kind of concerning also. As for the division, that's a lot harder division than I think you're going to give it credit for. That's why I would probably say the Bills, maybe, because, I mean, they're an up-and-comer. Well, because they finally broke the streak of not making the playoffs. The Patriots won't be on top forever, and there's going to be a second coming of somebody. I wouldn't have said the Nationals, because once Bryce Harper goes, I mean, we're going with the immediate. I don't know who they'll replace him with, but once Bryce Harper goes, forget about that team.
I'm talking mostly about this year. And I was going with one from each sport. But, I mean, the Nationals, to me, with that pitching staff and that lineup, it's ridiculous.
First time Texas said Texans look good with Watson. How about that as a possibility? I mean, too little of a sampling size for him. He's a good quarterback, but that doesn't mean they're going far in the playoffs or winning a Super Bowl.
Another possible division win for Houston there. So it's not a terrible list. I do think that this is likely to come from the NHL, or from the NFL, rather. It's the league where we see the most parity, the most worst-to-first transitions, the most teams going from nowhere one year to in the playoffs and deep into the playoffs the next year. The system is built that way. The schedules are set up that way so that there can be some turnover in these teams being good. So I think that the NFL is where this winner comes from. I still think it's the Falcons, but I mean, you throw in Los Angeles, the Chargers, I think, are going to be very, very good this year. They could find themselves players in the AFC. So I think this winner comes from the NFL.
I say NHL because it's just the randomness of it. I mean, look at this year. You know, everybody says you get a hot goalie. I mean, although Holtby wasn't completely on his head this year, but he was very much good enough to carry his team through. But they got so much more. Washington did. But the NHL is just so random. It's how you go into the playoffs. Pekka Rinne, one of the most underrated goalies in the history of the NHL. He had another good year this year, although he blew it in the playoffs. But I don't know. I just look at the Preds as one of those teams that's always in near the top, and maybe their time has come. Winnipeg Jets would be another one.
Well, the Winnipeg in both iterations, the Winnipeg Jets / Coyotes have never won, and the current Winnipeg Jets, who came from Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken, the old Thrashers. So somebody put them in on the Town Fair Tire text line. Yep. Nighthawk in Burlington says, what about the Jaguars? They played very well in the AFC title game last year and held their own. But that's what I'm talking about. I think the Jaguars are primed for major regression next year as the schedule gets harder. The division around them gets better with Tennessee, with Andrew Luck hopefully being back in Indy. And then you throw in a healthy Deshaun Watson. I do think Jacksonville, I'm not going to say they're going to struggle to the point of, 5-11, but I do think they're primed for a 10-6 season, 9-7, and they're playing on that opening weekend of the playoffs and not getting a bye.
You know, when I see lists like this, I think of the Capitals, I think of the Eagles, I think of the Cubs, always the part of the story is how long they've been inept. You know, the 50 years, the 60 years, the 70 years. The St. Louis Blues now, the Mariners. Yeah. That's why, you know, when you brought it up, if we did it the other way, which long-suffering fans have come so close but still haven't won it, I only could come up with really four that are long-suffering, and they happen to all be in one sport. The Bills, I mean, four straight Super Bowls, you didn't win one. I mean, jeez. Yep. You want to talk about a fan base. If they ever won it, I think I would cry for the Bill fans. Four straight Super Bowls?
And that can go for the Vikings, who suffered the exact same thing.
But not in a row.
Wasn't it?
No.
Back in the Fran Tarkenton days?
Tarkenton days were not all in a row.
Okay.
Tarkenton went on to the New York Giants after that.
Okay.
I believe.
I'll check.
So, yeah, there wasn't four in a row there, but you talk about long-suffering fans. The Blues and the Sabres.
What about the Lions?
Well, the Lions didn't make it to the Super Bowl. They were not even close. The Rangers, as I mentioned, two strikes away two different times. One strike away two different times from winning a World Series.
Right.
And the Pacers, with Reggie Miller, lost to the Lakers in the championship. That's not long-suffering, but they've had some good teams also.
And the thing that's frustrating for the St. Louis Blues is they are always good.
Yes.
They're always good. And they're loaded up with all these all-stars, especially on the offense, and they just can't get it done. And they should be feeling very good about themselves heading into next year based on what the Washington Capitals did, because those two teams were very, very similar.
And your Mariners, and I maybe have to throw in the Brewers. Rich, I don't remember Harvey's Wallbangers. And how close they came, I think.
Yeah. Gorman Thomas,
right,
Robin
Yount.
Right.
No, I know the names, but yeah. I think they went to a World
they,
Series.
They did, and okay. They lost. Maybe the I think they were an American League team, and it was against the Cardinals.
I'm
I'll
not
check.
Sure. Yeah, you have to check.
Well, you're making me work over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I am making you work. Go ahead.
Still working on the Vikings.
The other thing that I think is interesting is that we've all concluded that this list is not going to be broken by a team in the NBA. When you look at the super teams, and you look at how Golden State's set up, and we look at how Houston is set up, and how the Celtics are set up, I mean, I think there's 13 teams on the list in the NBA that have never won a championship.
Wait a minute, the Mavericks won.
Yes, the Mavericks did win, yes. So 12 on the list.
Yeah.
The Pacers, Hornets, Thunder, the Nets, Grizzlies, the Raptors, the Jazz, the Suns, the Pelicans, the Clippers, the Nuggets, and the T-Wolves. None of them have ever won titles, and I don't think any of them are particularly close. Yeah. Now, Minnesota should have been close if Jimmy Butler had been healthy the whole year with Karl Anthony Towns and Jeff Teague, and that's a good team that was, you know, bit by the injury bug a little bit, but I don't see any of the NBA teams coming close.
I'm going to be like one of our callers now. I'm going to really nitpick. You said,
don't tell me ABA titles. Don't
tell
me.
Title.
I said
title.
Championship in their current league.
Okay, because I'm not sure if the New Jersey Nets or the Denver Nuggets ever won a title. Remember, the Denver Nuggets had Dan Issel?
Yes.
And you remember who played for the New Jersey Nets, Rich?
Dr. J.
Dr. J, Julius Erving, before he went over to the NBA. So I'm not sure. I want to say like the Kentucky Colonels or whatever, but I'm not sure.
Then the Buffalo Bills won the 1964 AFL championship.
Well,
is that what you want to know?
No, but some people do say that they count. You know, when you talk about have you ever won, some people will count that. Go ahead.
All right, if you're going to do that, then the last year of the ABA, the New York Nets beat the
New
Denver
York.
Nuggets.
Okay,
the Indiana Pacers won it in 75. The Utah Stars in 74.
Indiana Pacers. Four teams came over from the ABA. The Pacers, the Nets, the Nuggets, and I can't remember who.
Wait a minute. Would you say Pacers, Nets, Nuggets, and San Antonio.
Bingo.
And by the way, in 1968, the New Orleans Buccaneers won the first ABA championship, so you can't count the Pelicans.
My bad, then. I shouldn't have said just it should be NBA championship. Then.
The answer was the Atlanta Falcons, and that was that.
Yeah.
So you know.
Wow.
In your opinion.
Yeah. I think they had that chance, and maybe the window is closed on that opportunity. So we'll see if they end up getting back there. It'll be interesting because I'm not a big Matt Ryan fan, and I know he was MVP and all that, but I had his opportunity, he let it fall through his wayside, and he may never live that down. That could be something that, like Dan Marino, who went to the Super Bowl his first year and never got back to it again.
Yeah.
That could be his one, you know, one chance, and who knows if he ever gets back again. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Robert Kraft, today did he make a decision that spited Bill Belichick?
All right, we'll get to that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN network hosts were opinionated. Unsupportable opinion. It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Is this... It's not Huey Lewis, is it?
Sure is.
He
working for a living.
He is deaf, right? In one ear, he lost his hearing, and he can't sing anymore. Is that what it was?
I don't know. He's been out on tour.
Yeah, he just, I read this like two, three weeks ago.
Oh.
I don't know if it was his hearing or he was sick or something. He had to stop touring. He may not be able to sing again. I think it's because he lost his hearing. I love Huey Lewis. I
talk about fun music.
He is. He's a fun guy.
It's impossible not to tap your toes to him.
Just seems like he's enjoyed life. Yes. I got to tell you.
How many people do you follow on Twitter? Because you seem to know everything about everybody. I just pictured you following like 40,000 accounts. And just being on your phone all day.
I try not to because it's getting a little out of hand with that. I think I follow, how do you tell? Where's the
click
thing?
On your profile.
Okay, I see how you do that now.
I have 46 followers.
I follow 2,500 people.
Yes, that's quite a bit.
That's
I follow 700.
Oh, okay, so that's way less than mine. Yeah.
Now, you also have significantly more followers than I do because of your...
I'm trying to get to 10,000. I'm almost at 9,000, so I'm trying to get to 10,000.
You do have a quarter billion people listening.
Yeah, but a lot of my other fellow Fox guys, they have like tons of people that follow them. Yeah. I don't know how they figure that out.
I hear you and Cowherd are in a race to 100,000.
Yes, we are.
No, he's probably like over a million.
Oh, he's way over a million. He's big time, man. There's no doubt about that. I heard LeVar... I wasn't calling Lamar. I heard LeVar Ball... on with him. Wait, just don't shake your head. Come on.
Nothing
stop
makes
that.
Me turn the station on. Hey, let's talk about LeVar Ball.
Oh, it was good. I enjoyed it.
You were the one last year saying how the Celtics needed to draft Lonzo because I can't be wrong.
No, you can't be wrong. But
aren't you happy you didn't?
Yeah, because Tatum turned out better. But if it was between Lonzo, well, it was really between Lonzo and Fultz. That's what I was comparing it to, but I still would have taken Lonzo over Tatum anyway. And it turned out right. I feel bad. Markelle Fultz might be one of the biggest bust first-round picks since Jamarcus Russell in the NFL. I mean, if this guy...
How about Anthony Bennett, the guy the Cavs took a few years ago that was on the Celtics G League affiliate?
And I should have said that because then there's Kwame Brown,
Sam
I believe,
Bowie.
That was taken number one. And then
Sam Bowie.
Tijana Carter.
Ahead of Michael
Who was the
Jordan.
One that was number one from Pacific? Was that...
NBA?
Yeah, NBA was from Pacific. It wasn't Olden Polynes, was it? No. I forget who it was. He played for the Clippers.
Olden Polynes
Danny
did
Manning?
Play for the Clippers.
Yeah, he did, but it wasn't him, though.
Manning?
No. He was taking... Danny Manning played for Kansas.
Oh, that's true, but he was the number one pick.
No, this guy played for Pacific, and the Clippers took him with the number one pick, and it was just horrible. It was horrible.
Michael Olowokandi.
Yeah, Michael Olowokandi. Oh, my goodness. What happened to that guy? He's
the candy man.
He was just miserable. Oh, geez. So, I don't know if that maybe be one of the worst first-round picks ever, but we'll see. Mostly, I shouldn't say that because he's a good player, but it's injury there. I don't know how strong he is and stuff like that. All right, Brady, what's going on with Robert Kraft? Decided let's enjoy the summer, right?
Yeah, that's basically what Robert Kraft said today. Robert Kraft and the Patriots... They said they're giving the Pats the rest of the OTA session off. They were supposed to practice on Thursday. They were supposed to practice on Friday. They went to Fenway yesterday for team bonding, so they didn't practice, and they're not practicing Thursday, Friday. Here was Robert Kraft today on the decision.
Our players will be let off today at 2, so this will be the end. Part of that is I think there are great things that happened last week, having everyone here, and then... I think yesterday they had a team building activity that was really good, and the new young players we have here, the free agents, I'm excited about this team, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun this year. So I understand sometimes people in the media have to work things up a little bit, but I'll just tell you, I and my family are very excited about the upcoming season.
Was he not excited about the upcoming season last year? Is that why they had full OTAs? I'm not sure.
I have two takeaways from that. Number one, you notice how he said, I think we're going to have a lot of fun this year?
Right. Yeah.
I think that was a direct shot at anyone who said that the Patriot culture is not fun to be in.
Yeah.
And my biggest question is this.
About it.
Do you think, because I do, and I'm usually not in Arnie's conspiracy theory world, do you think that Robert Kraft made this decision on his own and said, we are not practicing this week?
No.
You don't think Bill Belichick wants to practice as much as possible?
No, I think Belichick was snarky. I think Belichick said, he's not here at OTA, or he's not participating, and Gronk's giving me this. Why even have it? And Kraft probably said, fine. Why even have it then? And let's call it. I think it went down something like that, though, without the dramatics. And then Belichick said, why even bother doing this then? And he said, fine. Why? And and you heard the part about the media where we said we have to talk about something. I also think is he was tired of the, I think he got a little rattled maybe about the Gronk rumor and the Tom Brady rumor.
Who, Kraft?
With Kraft. Okay. I think maybe that rattled him a little bit and said, you know what? Let's wrap it up right now, and we'll just take on wait for practice in the summer.
The first thing that struck me strange is that the owner of, correct me if I'm wrong, the owner of the team shut down the OTAs as opposed to the coach.
I mean, I haven't seen.
Is that a little odd?
Well, it's not any. No, it's unprecedented to shut down any OTA.
Right, but isn't that Belichick's decision? And wouldn't he be the last guy on earth who would do that?
Yes, and that's why I'm saying I actually think this is a bigger deal than it sounds on the surface. You know, people will look at this and say, "Oh, that's nice. Look at Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick being nice to their players and letting them go home for the summer. And hey, we'll see you again on mid-July or late July." I look at it, Bill Belichick wants to get better every second of every day. And I think Bill Belichick, for him to waste essentially an entire week of OTAs, one day you're off the field because you're doing team building, the other two are canceled, so of a four possible days, you're on the field for one of them. That's not Bill Belichick's MO. Yeah. That's why I think this is Robert Kraft's decision. He's heard all the rumors around the league or all the talk around the league about what it's like playing in New England, and he's here now trying to control the narrative and spin it positively. Yeah. I actually think this is a big deal. I think this is Kraft exerting his power over Belichick.
So I really think maybe, well, I still go to what I said, that Belichick said, oh, this guy's not here, Brady's not doing this, Gronk's not doing this, we got the rumors here. I don't want to deal with this, and why even have it? And Kraft probably said, fine, let's not do it.
Really, you don't think Belichick wants to spend every... If he could have his rookies there at 3 o'clock in the morning, he probably would. Don't you think?
No, he's very stubborn. And
right, you know, that's my point.
No, he's very stubborn. And if he's not going to get his way, he'd rather not. It's either 100% his way or let's not do it at all. I see it that.
But what if it's his way? He's the coach of the team. To me, it's not up to the owner to shut down practice.
Well, to me, it's like this. A teacher the day before the test said, I'm here to answer all your questions. You ask me anything that's going to be on the test, I'm going to answer you. This is what's going to be on the test. And you got some of the kids screwing around. The teacher goes, you know what? Blank you guys. Now you study on your own. I'm not going to tell you what's on the test. I'm not going to help you. I'll see you tomorrow.
But
same thing here.
To me, this is like you have a fired-up teacher who wants his kids in every possible, his or her kids in every possible way to learn everything they possibly can in the shortest amount of time. And then the principal or the superintendent comes in and says, don't take that test tomorrow or the next day. Never mind.
So it's very interesting. You think this is a defiance by Belichick. Rich and I think this is more of Kraft trying to use the power card here in the organization. That's how I see it.
No.
Belichick, I don't think, because Belichick knows that his legacy is on the line every season. He knows that his coaching record, he's looking to set, he's egotistical like most great people are. And we know that about him, that he cares about his legacy deeply. So he's not going to do anything, and I mean anything, that's going to help, that could possibly compromise his legacy. If working practice or having practice in the middle of June in 85-degree weather in Foxborough, he thinks will help him win a game in December, he will do that, in my mind, 100 times out of 100. So for it to be canceled seems odd, and it seems like a power play from Robert Kraft, who's heard the rumblings about how awful it is to be in New England, and he just wants to show, hey, it's not this awful.
Are things so bad that he decided to just bag the last 2 days, whether Belichick wanted him to or not? I don't know. There's just a lot of weirdness to this.
He doesn't make a decision. I don't even know if he's around practice.
He's there.
Maybe not. Yeah. First of all, it's OTAs. He doesn't go to all the OTAs. Maybe he doesn't even go to all the practices in the summer for Kraft. Jerry Jones is probably like one of the few owners you'll see at every practice. And that's because he likes to go to California and going to Thousand Oaks.
I would put Kraft up in the upper third of owners that are involved in the team directly. Wouldn't you?
I'm not so sure, but that doesn't mean
he's at everything.
But that doesn't mean you have to go to every practice and something like that. To cancel something like this, it has to go ahead and have him and Belichick talking. It wasn't something like Robert Kraft just woke up one morning and said, hey, let's all go to the beach. Or he doesn't line everybody up like in basketball and said, if you make this half-court shot, we're not going to practice today.
But
that's not what would happen.
But that's
here.
What makes it even stranger is the fact that he would have had to have gotten Belichick to sign off on this, which makes it ultra strange to me. Yeah, let's just bag 2 days of evaluating.
Well, that's why I say it's not his idea. I'm telling you that. It's not his idea. He's the owner. It comes from Belichick, and Belichick probably said, fine, tell everybody to just go on home then. I'm telling you, that's the way it came down.
That flies in the face of everything
right on stuff
I know
like that.
About Bill Belichick.
I'm usually right on stuff like that, Brady. So
it just feels, and again, whether we agree or disagree on how it went down, do we at least come to the agreement that It's odd. The weird.
It's unprecedented.
Yeah, the weird offseason continues in New England from starting out, from everything we heard about Malcolm Butler after the Super Bowl and how that decision came down, to Brady and the Tom vs. Time finale, to Brady and not showing up at OTAs, to this drama with Gronk and it's just
Edelman.
Weird. Edelman, it's just weird.
By the way, when's the next Time vs. Time? Because I want him to say to Giselle, remember when the time I had to threaten to retire because they wanted to trade it to Rob Gronkowski? That's what I want to hear at the next Time vs. Time. Am I going to get
We're
that?
We're not going to get that anymore.
Am no I not going to get that? Give me one think, more. Just give me another five-minute extra.
Isn't that series over?
Yeah, but give me another five-minute extra. Can you say, we got one more to give out. This is the part we cut. This is the part we wanted to get to.
Could you?
And say something like that. That's what I want.
Could you imagine if the Patriots were on Hard Knocks, how great that would be?
Oh, jeez. And Brady goes, I threatened to retire when you traded Gronk once. I'll do it again. How great would that be? But you never get anything like
that. No, there's
like
a better chance you'll win Powerball than get the Patriots on Hard Knocks.
I wish I could hear just one time Tom saying that, to Giselle or to whoever, to the garbage man, to
Bill,
anybody.
What do you think?
There.
What do you think, Mr. Belichick? Can we follow your every move and every meeting and everything you say and every word out of your mouth with cameras for the next month? Oh, sure. Come on in.
Joe in Ticonderoga says, read that, Brady. When is Belichick getting traded? This is not how
he runs the team. So basically, he's saying that.
It's weird.
Basically, he thinks that Belichick would never do these things, never cancel OTAs. So Kraft is calling the shots, and will Kraft ship Belichick out of town because he doesn't like him anymore?
Well, what would be Kraft's reasoning other than the media breathing down his neck a little bit? Is that what you think the reason to cancel OTAs? Or again, I think it has to come from Belichick being angry about something. He said, let's just cancel the whole damn thing. Kraft said, fine, let's just cancel the whole damn thing.
I mean, as much of all this stuff, and I rail about you guys talking constantly about the Patriots all the time and making stuff up and the media and all that, but this one truly does strike me as odd. And when I first heard about it just a few hours ago, I thought, that's weird. There's something weird about this.
I just can't imagine Bill Belichick, of all people, willingly canceling practice. I just can't. I just
unless
cannot
to prove
imagine.
I could see him only doing it to prove a point because of his stubbornness. I could really see that. I mean, because we know that the guy is stubborn. We know that the guy is hard-headed. I could see him to prove a point to either Kraft or to Tom or to Gronk. I don't know who he tried. You get on his bad side, you're never getting on the good side of him. That's just the way it's going to be.
That's for sure. You're shipped out pretty quick as soon as you are.
Real quick, Rich, why don't you tell us what's going on with the Bruins? What's happening here, my friend? Because they're looking at new names or what?
Well, certainly not a new name.
Well,
I didn't even know this guy was still alive.
Is that the old New Jersey Devil?
He was a Devil, but his greatest years were with Danny Heatley and the Atlanta Thrashers, the late, great Atlanta Thrashers. He put up some serious numbers when he was about 20 years old. Ilya Kovalchuk, we're talking about. Went to New Jersey, didn't do nearly as much, signed a massive long-term deal. I think the last time he played, he had like 30, 31 points, and it was about 6 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, I hear the Bruins might be interested in him.
Look, he did. He's 35, so it's not like he's 50, okay? 35. We're talking about Alex Ovechkin. Alex Ovechkin's 32 and put up great numbers this year, in which I think he had 49 goals or something this year.
But he does that every year.
Okay, but I'm just saying that we're talking about a 32-year-old who was one of the best offensive players in the league. I do believe that a 35-year-old could come here and be a third or fourth line player.
Well, that's what he wants. That's exactly what I was going to say. They need a little pop because their starters got hurt. I mean, the first teamers got hurt last year, and that kind of hurt them in the playoffs.
So, 35 years old, I don't believe that he's washed up. He did help lead Russia to a gold medal in the Olympics, and I understand the Olympics were watered down because of no NHL players, and Russia was set up best because they had Kovalchuk and Pavel Datsyuk and guys with accomplished NHL careers who are now playing in the KHL. But look, I don't know what the money would be, but I'd be interested as a third, fourth line depth option that can provide some scoring. You went out and got Rick Nash to try to be a depth scoring option who's got some age behind him and some tread on those tires. So why not give Kovalchuk a try if it's affordable?
And he's going to have to know that he's coming in as far as contracts at the absolute bottom of the barrel. I mean, you're not going to give him $5, $6 million guaranteed for next year. They simply don't have it, at least not in Boston.
I love my kid to play there, though, in Russia. How much fun would that be?
Well, it might happen. He's played everywhere else.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Read that one from Zach in Bristol, Brady.
Kraft is worried about no one wanting to play in New England. Belichick can walk away if he wants. Kraft still needs a profitable organization. And also, I'll add on top of that for Zach, He needs an organization that has a positive public appearance.
What is
and I do think this is some damage control based on this negative summer.
Every team is profitable in the NFL.
For sure.
He more means an outward facing organization in terms of players wanting to go there.
Yeah, well, you don't need a good team. The Patriots could be 6-10 for the next 10 years in a row, and they'll still make as much money as if they went 14-2 for the next 10 years in a row.
TV,
but it's also their market too. I mean, you got the Boston market.
Well, you do.
Boston, New York, Dallas. I mean, that's a lot better than Green Bay and stuff like that.
Right, and they've obviously built up season ticket bases that'll go until the end of our lives and then some. But, really.
Well, Green Bay does, too.
Trust me.
Absolutely. There's a waiting list.
Keep in mind, this was a team that was ready to ship out to Hartford, Connecticut about 15, 20 years ago.
The NFL was not the NFL that it is now with television money and all the other money that they get
But I can definitely remember spending many Sundays sitting there with another 20,000 people at the old Schaefer Stadium and thinking, this isn't working.
No, but again, that's a whole nother era in the NFL, but now it's certainly, you got to be a knucklehead if you can't make it work in the NFL. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Get into a little more of people's concerns about LeBron possibly in Boston.
All right, we'll get to that. We got some Town Fair Tire text to get to, all that next right here on 101.3 ESPN. Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We got tomorrow off. Unbelievable. I'm going to sleep till noon.
It's till noon?
I'm going to sleep
till
noon.
Do you really sleep till noon? Is that humanly possible at your age?
Well, my wife wakes me up at about 6 because I yell at her to take the dogs out. So that wakes me up. And then she'll take the dogs out. I'll go back. I'll have some breakfast, get some coffee, and then go back to bed.
You have coffee and then you go to sleep?
Yes, yes. So
why does this not surprise me? Of course you do.
I got to do something. You know, I'll go back to bed at like 8:39. And then sleep for a couple hours.
Well, I'm hearing it might be a little rainy for our day off tomorrow. Well, your day off.
You going to play basketball at Pomeroy Park?
I'm playing in Pomeroy. I'm playing.
If it's not nice, you'll take it inside?
Rain or shine. Outside. That's the way I'm going to be out there. Skins and shirts.
Gross.
So come on.
Everyone in the place is praying you're on the shirts.
Skins and shirts. And I want to be on shirts. That's for sure. All right. Let's go ahead and get back to what's going on with the Celtics. LeBron. Where he's going to end up and who's the front runner. Now, I saw that thing that I guess LeBron or the school is denying that his kid enrolled in that school in Los Angeles.
You know, I saw people have had a lot of concerns about LeBron being in Boston. And one of them is that when LeBron goes someplace, he runs the team. And people say that, well, what about Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge? They are fearful that LeBron James would overtake basically in authority Ainge and Stevens. I think there's a lot of concerns to have about LeBron, a lot of things that you have to figure out. I don't think that's one of them. LeBron has shown the willingness to buy in when it's the right program and when he doesn't have to be the guy. Look at what he did for USA Basketball for all those years. The team was good. The coaches were accomplished. He didn't have to do everything all the time. I think he takes over when he needs to. I don't think he would need to do that in Boston.
Wouldn't it be ironic if he comes to Boston and he plays second fiddle to Kyrie Irving? I mean, think about that.
Yeah,
whoever saw that coming. But, I mean, maybe that would be appealing to him at this point in his career.
No, no. Matter of fact, I'm not so sure if I'm Boston I really want LeBron.
I don't.
You've got a youngster in Kyrie that you want to go ahead and probably mold your team around. You've got three or four other guys that are going to be coming up, like Rozier, Marcus Smart. Tatum's got like 3-4 years left on the rookie contract. And Jaylen Brown, that was the other one I was thinking about. So, I mean, you got to worry about those guys. The East is still weak. If you don't get rid of Gordon Hayward, you still got him coming back. So you've got some scoring punch there. They'll probably be the favorites, you know, even without LeBron, to win the Eastern Conference, if it's not maybe Philadelphia.
Right.
So they don't really need to go ahead and make a mess of their team and worry about that for a guy that's only going to be around like 2-3 years.
Yeah, but I'm just operating now under the assumption that if LeBron was here, hypothetical, big if, capital letters, would I be afraid of him overtaking the front office and Brad Stevens? And I'm not. I don't think that would be the issue. I think the issue would be him taking away and stunting the development of the Jaylen Browns and Jason Tatums. I think how many basketballs are there for everybody to get shots? I think the on-court issues are far more a big deal than LeBron running the front office.
And I understand why you would say that about Cleveland, because of Cleveland. But if Tom Brady doesn't run the front office for the Patriots, right, And Wayne Gretzky did not run the front office because he was traded from the Oilers to the LA Kings. And that was a kind of a surprise to him back in the day. Why should LeBron have carte blanche? And matter of fact, I don't even think Michael Jordan had carte blanche like that with, what's his face?
Bill Jackson.
No, Krause.
The Bulls. Oh, Jerry Krause.
Yeah, Jerry Krause. Yeah. That was a tumultuous, relationship there. So I'm not so sure he really should have that much carte blanche
Well, think about this. With LeBron, do you think no matter where he goes, he's at the point of his life where he says, I've seen it all, I've done it all, I just want to win another championship, and I will be a, quote, good soldier, whatever, you know, whatever it takes to just win. I'm not going to try to take everything over. I'm just going to be a good teammate and whatever it takes.
Well, shouldn't that be any time, any year?
Right, but LeBron is such a huge figure. In the history of basketball.
It's not to me that he's a bad teammate. It's not to me that he's demanding. I think he'd be tough to play with. But yes, if he goes there, certain places, it's going to be teams building around him. If he goes to Los Angeles like you think, they are building their team around him.
If he went to Philadelphia, because they already got two youngsters. So,
right.
And that was another rumor. So if he went to Philadelphia, it doesn't have to be around him. Maybe he wants to play with some of the youngsters there.
If he went to Philly or Houston or Boston, then no, it wouldn't all be built around him. Right, that's what I'm saying. That wouldn't be my worry. If I were a Laker fan, you'd be selling out all your young future pieces to be building around LeBron, and they'd all be acquiescing to him. Whereas if he went to Boston, I think it would be an easier assimilation.
But that's okay in Los Angeles. What the hell are they doing out there anyway? The Lakers are an iconic team, and nobody's doing anything, and they're just stuck in the mud. And Jim Buss destroyed that team, for crying out loud. Thank goodness Genie took it on over. So, you know, I mean, I'd get him in, and I'd be signing new players and building around him. That's for damn sure.
That's why I'm surprised everybody thinks LeBron's going to L.A. other than it's just sort of Showtime Hollywood, and if that's what he wants, then so be it. But doesn't he want a championship? Isn't he, 3-6 he is in finals?
He can win one there.
You think he can win in L.A. with what they have right now? Ingram's getting better.
They would either bring in Paul George, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, they need some more pieces.
Yeah, they would bring in one or the other. And who knows, maybe they bring in Chris Paul, who's best friends with LeBron. I'm not talking banana boat best friends. I'm talking about he was there for the birth of his kids. They're like godparents for each other's kids. They're really, really good friends. The wives are good friends. So, that goes beyond just friendship.
That's great, except now you're still stuck in the same division and the same conference as a certain team from Oakland who is just going to pulverize you as soon as it matters.
Not everything's easy, that's for sure, Rich. We'll come back. Last story standing as we wrap up this Tuesday right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, let me call an audible. This story coming out at 5:43. So what, about 14 minutes ago?
There you go.
Chris Forsberg, ESPN staff writer. Celtics All-Star point guard Kyrie Irving said Tuesday, which is today, how about that?
I think I know where this is going.
That a contract extension this summer doesn't make sense for him.
Uh-oh.
And that while he's already bracing for the daily questions about his future, his sole focus is on getting healthy for next season and helping the Boston Celtics take another step for title contention. Now, he did meet with the media. He is eligible for an extension this summer, but even coming off another knee surgery that sidelined him, he decided that he's going to wait, and that's because he can get a 4-year, $107 million extension now. But if he waits till the following summer of 2019, he can get an extra $80 million on that. But then he's a free agent.
See ya.
Right? At that point. I'm not liking the way this is going right now.
No, I'd trade him. Hayward. I think Kyrie is the guy to get rid of. Damaged goods.
Brady, am I not figuring that out right?
No, I think you're figuring it out perfectly. That's why I say I think that it is a risky proposition giving Kyrie Irving that money.
Wow. Well, it makes sense to him. $107 or $187 million.
Like, makes any difference.
But I don't know. Is that just the Celtics that can give him the extra $80 million, or is that any team that can
give him
the
extra? Team, because like if Hayward had stayed with the Jazz,
right,
he could have gotten more money.
Right.
But by coming to the Celtics, he got the 5 years, $125 million, which is what Kyrie is going to be eligible for.
Yeah, but now Kyrie's going to get more money away from the Celtics and $80 million more. That's $80 million.
No, he can get... I think he can get. He could have gotten the most money with Cleveland,
right?
If he had stayed with Cleveland.
Well, I don't know. 2019, it says he can get an extra $80 million. I don't know if that's just from the Celtics or if that's overall. I'm not sure. I think it's overall because once a contract, this one would just have been an extension. So, look, $80 million, $80 million. I don't know how he's going to get it or what, but anyway, that's the latest on Kyrie, as that just came down about 13, 14 minutes ago. Brady, what's coming about Champlain Valley game night tonight?
I'm going to talk to you about the one place where you're really going to start to see the effect of the Julian Edelman suspension.
Oh, all right. Looking forward to that. What interns do we have to thank today?
Intern Lewis, intern Lance, and intern Colton.
Wow, I never see these interns.
Colton's been sitting there the entire show.
Say something. I don't see him now. He's not there now.